Okay, we're live. Matthew 4:17, Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Powerful statement. The kingdom of heaven, the realm that not only where God lives, the realm that emanates from his presence, was made available. That's what Jesus was saying. But he made it very clear that unless there was repentance, it wouldn't do anybody any good. And we need to realize that our mental conditioning keeps us unaware of this realm of heaven that God has made real and provided for us. We have access to that realm. It's God's intent that the realm of heaven, of spirit, be overlaid this natural realm, not only influence this realm, but be an authority over this natural realm. This is to be our life experience. Repentance is the place where old mindsets, the natural mind and all the problems we have with it, it's the power's broken through repentance, where we can take on new perspective, new thoughts, new wine, because we're becoming a new wineskin. Basically, through repentance, we can become aware of the realm of spirit, heaven, and know our access in that realm, how to move in that realm. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 4, I'm going to just give it a quick example. Verse 42, we find one of the miracles that came forth through Elisha. And it says, "A man came and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley." And you can read this later. It's 2 Kings 4, 42. And he said, "Give them to the people, and they may eat." And his attendant said, "What shall I set before this 100 men?" He said, "Give them to the people that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over." So he set it before them, and they ate and some left and had some left over according to the word of the Lord. Did you think that the first time that food was multiplied was through Jesus? Remember when he did that twice? This happened in the Old Testament too. Now, what is happening here? You think, well, it's a miracle. Wow. Yeah, it is a miracle. But in the realm of earth, this natural realm, the law is there's going to be lack. There's limitation. The realm of heaven, God's realm, there is never lack. There is no limitation. So the man of God says, okay, here we have a situation. We don't have enough food. He's abiding in the realm of heaven and says, in this realm, there's never lack. He simply applies what's true in heaven into a situation and circumstance on earth. And everybody goes, wow, miracle. Food keeps multiplying. All it is someone is walking with an awareness of the heavenly realm and knows they have access to it. This shouldn't be once in a while these things take place. This should be our home. Elisha the prophet ministered for over 60 years. And actually, when you read these chapters in 2 Kings, all these miracles, they're actually, most of it's taking place in a 15-year period. So a lot took place. And the last 45 years, you don't really hear too much about him until about the time of his death. But what was so special about Elisha? He lived in two realms. I love something Terry told me a few weeks ago. He was talking about how, you know, they can do surgeries now where one eye sees close up, one eye sees for distance. He goes, "I want that. I want one eye on the natural, one eye in the heavenlies all the time." And I thought, that's it. That's what this is all about. It's not this thing that we're driving our car and all of a sudden we're caught up into the spiritual realm and, you know, the car goes veering off the road because we can't pay attention to the road and God at the same time. No, we're living our lives. We're in this natural realm, one eye on what we need to do. But at the same time, we have that spiritual eye that's tuned into what God is doing. And we know we have access to bring the heavenly realm and what's true in heaven, that it become true in earth. This is our destiny. Elisha abided in two realms as an example of how we're to live in this prophetic realm. Repentance is to break us out of these lies and limitations that Heaven is a place you go to when you die. Who said that? Now, God never laid that limitation. Yes, after we leave this planet Earth, that's where we dwell, in that realm. But that realm is here with us now. We all believe in God. We all believe in what God can do. But the real issue we're facing is, do we believe that we have access to His realm? Can that realm manifest in this physical plane? Elisha, I'd like you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. And we're going to look at how he was identified. Now here's this mighty man of God with a double portion of Elijah's spirit anointing. Miracles coming forth, because again, Elisha is in that realm of spirit. Verse 11, Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, "Elisha is here, who used to pour water on the hands of Elijah." Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." Here's this mighty prophet. How's he being identified? He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. You see, Elisha was a servant. That emanated from him. You know, I think we have this picture of him, this big prophet walking around doing all this great stuff. Well, yeah, some mighty things happened through him. But what really is emanating is that servant's heart. And that's going to be the anchor for any ministry as the kingdom of God comes forth. People are going to look. They're not going to glorify you. They're going to see the servant's heart and glorify the Father, our Father who art in heaven. But I thought that was just really good how people saw him. We're going to talk about three barriers to this realm of heaven, of spirit. Why aren't we accessing it more? What blocks our awareness? What blocks our faith to just reach in and say, "It's true where you live, God. I live there too. Make it true here in this circumstance." Well, the first thing is our minds. Our minds are a block. Now, is that a new statement to anyone here? I'm sure anyone that knows anything about spiritual battle, once you get out of that immature realm of just blaming the devil for everything, you realize the biggest enemy in my life is right between my two ears. Our minds need to be renewed. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. All of our reading today will be in these chapters, so you can just stay close. And from verse 8 on, the king of Syria was warring against Israel. And as the story unfolds, he wants to find Elisha, because Elisha is like, you know, the servant describes it this way. It's like whatever you say in private, he's hearing. Well, Elisha was hearing the word voice of God, and he had the word of knowledge. And so the king of Syria is just getting very frustrated. He's trying to defeat the Israelites, and they have these bands of raiders going in and trying to rob and steal and doing different things. And so he sends men out and said, "I want you to get this guy. He's been a pain to me. I want him captured." So the army goes out in verse 15, and the attendant of the man of God looks and sees this army of horses and chariots circling the city. And he turns to Elisha and he says, "What shall we do?" Elisha answered in verse 16, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Elisha is quoting a good verse, isn't he? Just like we do. We're dealing with a circumstance, and in the natural, all we see is the problem, and it's stirring fear in us. What am I going to do about this thing? And so we get our Bible out and we say, "Greater is he that's within me than he that's without." Good. But without the experience, it's not going to do any good, is it? Elisha telling the servant the truth was a start. But then he lays hands on him. He says, "I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Quoting verses at our fears doesn't make our fears go away. Having our eyes open to see what the verse is all about by revelation, that dislodges fear. Amen. We're in an hour where we need impartation. And whether it comes because someone lays hands on you or you're out surfing in the water and you're relating to the Lord, it's got to come by the Holy Spirit any way that does come. The Holy Spirit wants to open our eyes where we see as God sees. And when we see as God sees, to say, greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world, wonderful verse. But when my eyes spiritually are opened by revelation to what that verse is saying, and I see the greater presence of God in me, that's when the fear leaves. We've got to get over this thing that our battle is to get what we want. Our real battle is to see how God sees. What do I mean by that? The servant looked out and he saw this army coming and he goes, the battle here is, I got to stay alive. What are we going to do? No, the battle was for that servant's eyes to be opened to see the truth in heaven. That's where Elisha dwelt. He looked out, saw the same army, saw the same problem, but he was abiding in the realm of heaven and spirit. And he said, here's where God is. No problem. No problem. Our battle is not against circumstances, and the natural mind will always make the issue your circumstances. I've got to get what I want. I've got to get the answer. I've got to get the release. The greater battle is for your eyes to be opened spiritually to see as God sees, to be able to abide in that realm of heaven. Now, interesting in looking at this, this thing of spiritual sight is two parts. One, our eyes being opened by the Holy Spirit to that plane of revelation, to be aware of the realm of God's Spirit and what's happening. The second is our understanding to be open to God's ways. Now, look at what's happening with this. The army comes to take Elisha captive. He turns around, and by the word of the Lord, causes that army to go blind. He takes him by the hand and leads him back into Samaria, back to the king of Israel. He goes, here you go. Here's who you're looking for. Now, they're thinking, okay, we're out here to get Elisha. This is strange. We can't see. Their eyes are open, and here they are. They're captive now to Israel. See, the enemy comes to our circumstances and says, I'm going to captivate you. I'm going to bring you into bondage. Just see how God sees. Let God work. He'll turn that circumstance around where the enemy becomes captive. That's just what happened. What they tried to do to Elisha happened to them. Now, something that I don't know that I've seen this before. Maybe you have, but bear with me. Let's go down to verse 21. When he brings this army back and they're now captive to Israel, the king of Israel, verse 21, said to Elisha, my father, shall I kill him? Shall I kill them? Elisha answered, you shall not kill them. Would you kill those you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. So he prepared a great feast for them, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. And the bands of Syria did not come again into the land of Israel, at least for a while. This to me is beautiful, because what would be Elisha's experience with this? Remember what happened with Elijah, 2 Kings 1, when armies came to take him? He called fire down from heaven and consumed them. Finally, the third group that came out were just going, please have mercy, don't kill us. So that's Elisha's example is when people come to take him, this is how you operate in the spirit. Call fire down from heaven. Get rid of him. You see, he was opened up to the ways of the Lord. This is part of spiritual sight. God's way was not to kill the enemy. God's way here was to show an act of kindness, and that act of kindness stopped the raids from continuing, at least for a time. This double portion, I've heard people talk about it like, oh, yeah, boy, we're going to see God just really go after him. Get this double portion. We'll have greater judgments and greater this and that. Maybe the double portion means mercy will triumph over judgment. That's what happened here. Maybe this double portion anointing is going to be so great that the love of God and the kindness of God is going to manifest into some very negative situations and turn them around. I thought that was very, very interesting. Anyway, to have spiritual sight is to see as God sees and to understand the ways of the Lord and to flow with them. The way of God in this situation was to be kind to the enemy, and that took care of it. All right, the second thing, I want to talk about three things if we get through this morning, is found in 2 Kings 4. Something else that keeps us from the realm of spirit is being in debt. We'll talk about that for a minute. In this story, you remember the widow, I'll just read a few verses of this. This widow feared the Lord, her husband died, and she said to Elisha, "A creditor has come to take my two children to be slaves." And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you?" And you know what happens is she has her go gather all these jars of oil, and as many as she gathers are miraculously filled with oil. Now remember, again, in heaven, there's no lack. That's how come the oil could keep filling vessel after vessel. And she was able to pay her creditors. This may be a little different. I know when we think about being in debt, what do you think of? What's the one word that comes to mind? Mortgage. Money. Yeah, mortgage. The American dream. What is the American dream? To be hopelessly in debt, right? It's not much of a dream, but anyway, that's for another word. We think about money, owing. Whatever you're in debt to, you're in bondage to. And if you think about money right now, I think everybody can relate to this. When you're in debt, it's like something that hangs over you, doesn't it? It blocks awareness. It kind of consumes your awareness. You know what? I don't want to talk about money this morning because I think we're all aware of that situation. And I think we need to be aware that in the realm of God's Spirit in heaven, there is no debt. You remember the year of Jubilee for Israel? Every 50 years, debt was erased. Read about that in Leviticus. It's in God's heart to erase debt. I think that's a good way to believe. Anyway, for money, if I could just throw this out, kind of a little sidelight. People are praying, I want more money, more money. I'm not sure that's a good prayer. That can easily be involved with the idol of greed. But to say, Lord, I want to be out of debt because I want to be free. I think that's good. Amen. In the realm of spirit in heaven, there is perfect liberty. There's not bondage. And if money is a bondage to us, either having too much or too little, that issue of debt is there, I think we can believe for God to break that. There's another kind of debt. A debt that we incur in relationships that puts us in great bondage. What we feel we owe people. Someone is tied in a codependent way. In a marriage, it can be in a church, it can be with friends, any type of relationship where you're serving that person out of guilt. And no matter what you do and how much you do for that person, that debt is never erased, right? People will be in a relationship and say, I've just got to keep doing this thing. I got to keep doing it. And yet nothing ever changes. We carry a sense of debt in relationships, don't we? Someone can be very controlling. And the person that's involved in that dysfunctional relationship feels they always owe something. There's not freedom. It's not a freedom of love to serve. It's out of guilt, out of obligation. This needs to be broken. Why do you think the enemy works so hard in the body to create all these problems in relationships? Because he knows that if we are in wrong relationships, heaven is not going to be accessed. We're going to be consumed with these relationships and these problems and forget the realm that we're born into. What would it be like to be free in relating to one another, to relate to one another in the spirit? What does that mean? It means there's not that sense of debt. We can truly relate in the love of God and in truth. It means you don't have to be something to someone else because out of fear. Well, I've got to do this. They'll get mad at me. What will people think? See, all these fears make us self-conscious and we're not God-conscious. To be in the spirit in our relationships, to be freed of that sense of debt. Now, whether we're talking about, guilt, that thing comes up to me. It can be a lot of other ways to be in bondage to one another. But I think everyone here can relate to this thing of guilt, can't you? Got to do it. Who says? Does God say it? No, but I owe this thing. When does it get paid off? Well, it's been like this for years and years. It doesn't seem to get paid. You don't ever release yourself from guilt doing that. There's got to be freedom in the spirit. In God's realm, we serve one another out of love. In God's realm, in heaven, we speak the truth in love to one another. And in that freedom, we can access heaven. That's what it means to relate to one another in the Spirit. So in breaking this spirit of debt, you see it as a barrier to the heavenly realm? Go beyond just money. I know money probably occupies a lot of our attention, but say, Lord, every wrong relationship that I'm in, it's not that I shouldn't be in relationship with that person, but where there's that sense of debt, break it. Set me free where I can relate to this person the way you want me to in your Spirit. Amen. One last thing. Okay, turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24. The last block that we're going to talk about this morning to the Spirit is the block to being spiritually fed from God's realm. In this story, if you start with verse 24, again, we have these Syrians coming against Israel. There's a famine in the land, and they set a siege around the city in Samaria. And basically, this famine is horrible. I mean, Israel cannot go out of the city because the enemy will kill them. And there's no food. Verse 29, you read, and this is, maybe I shouldn't even read this. 28, 29, just to see the severity of this famine, that they were, there's cannibalism going on. Right? This woman that she's talking about, we ate this other, my friend's son the next day, and now we get to eat my son today or tomorrow. Yeah, I don't want to dwell there. But that's how severe it was. Now, the interesting thing about that is if you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, a judgment was pronounced against Israel. If they didn't follow the Lord, that there would be cannibalism. I mean, this is not some strange thing. God said, if you don't follow what I'm telling you, this is what can happen to you. So they were really under judgment, too, because they weren't following the Lord with all their heart. So you have them in a place here where they're not able to feed. And I see this as such a metaphor. If you could just lift out for just a second, as what we face as a people in this hour, as far as being spiritually fed. Now, you may disagree with me. You say, how can you say that? With the internet, we've got more words available now than ever before. You can find anointed teachers and preachers, and on the internet, you can get books. We're just flooded with all this wonderful knowledge. I agree with you. Does that mean that people are being spiritually fed? I'm going to say this, that we can be filled with the right knowledge and still be suffering from malnutrition spiritually. What does it mean to be spiritually fed? It means you grow. It doesn't mean that you hear something and go, oh, that's a good word. Let me hear another one. Oh, that's a good word. We tend to just kind of fill up with all this good information. And that's wonderful. You say, oh, I've got all these words. They're all true. If you're spiritually being fed, that word is causing growth in you. Amen. Here's the dilemma I see with church. We have the right message. If you're in the right place, you're hearing, okay, we need to feed on the Lord, we need to grow. Growth is the name of the game. But yet the very system of church often rewards people for not growing. You need to grow, but I want you in your seat. I want you here every week doing the same thing. You see what I'm saying? It's like, the word is right. Everybody needs to grow and know who they are in the Lord. But you can't break the mold here in church, whatever we have expect of you. So we keep people locked in. And the question I have for you is not how you fit in this mold here called Living Springs. When you hear the word, are you growing in faith? Are you becoming more confident in who you are in the Lord? Are you feeling more free in who you are in being led by the Lord? Or are you still contained with fear? Well, the group I'm a part of, they expect things a certain way, and I can't break out of that mold. You better break out of any mold that's interfering with your walk with the Holy Spirit and what God is speaking to you. Now, is there a mold here? Of course there is. I mean, hopefully it's not as, you know, rigid as some places, but the point is that's no excuse. You're not here to serve me or this church. You're here to grow spiritually so that you can walk in all that God's put in your heart to walk in. To be fed spiritually is more than just listening to the right words. It means those words mix in your heart and bring change. Bring you closer into who the Lord is. Make you more aware of who you are in Him. Okay, what we have here, and we'll take just another minute with this. Israel is behind walls of the city, starving to death. You have the enemy without, the Syrians, and the walls within. What takes place? Elisha speaks a word. But this time tomorrow, it's all going to be different. Tomorrow comes, looks just like the day before. What happens is the four lepers, you remember the story? They go, hey, you know what? We stay here, we're going to die. That we know for sure. We go out there, maybe the Syrians won't kill us. Let's take a chance, let's go. What God caused to happen, remember he went to the Syrian camp, brought confusion. They scattered in fear. And here was all this food, all this provision just sitting out there. Nobody was aware of it until the lepers went out. Now, I want to say this. Spiritual feeding has to do with stepping out in faith. Unless the word is mixed with faith and that faith challenges your fears, there's no growth taking place. Here we have four lepers that are basically, I don't see them as great men of faith here, right? They're not saying, Elisha spoke a word from God, we're going to step out on that word. They're saying basically, I think we're going to die, but maybe we got a shot. We just go out and just see what's out there. What are they acting on? A glimmer of hope. That's all. But that's all it takes sometimes. We have to have great faith. Just act on whatever's light is there. Sometimes it's just a ray of hope. Step out on it. It's interesting. The enemy they feared, that's where their provision was. We're starving to death. We can't go out there. The Syrians will kill us. And even when the lepers came back, they're talking among themselves saying, maybe it's just a trick. Maybe the enemy's still hiding. Once we get out there, they're going to come and get us. You see, whenever God speaks a word to your heart, the walls of fear will always come up to try to choke out that word. And the only thing we can do is exercise the faith that God has put in our heart toward that word. And that faith will always move you against those walls of fear. Either we're going to hide behind fear and starve to death spiritually, or when the word of God comes, we're going to mix it with faith and step through our fears and feed spiritually and be nourished spiritually. The very provision that they were all praying for, oh God, we got to eat, was sitting out there where the enemy had been. David said, thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. What's our enemy? What enemy are we talking about here? Fear is our enemy. That's where the table of God is. So faith will lead you to challenge your fears. And when we step out in faith, sometimes it's just that ray of hope. Sometimes you're stepping out saying, God's spoken a word. Here I go. Whatever it is, step forward. Because that's how what you're hearing becomes spiritual food. That's how you'll grow and be nourished. We need faith to break the spiritual famine. Take new ground to prove what God has spoken. Elisha spoke a word saying, this is the way it's going to be tomorrow. But we never see that word if we hide behind our walls of fear. They had to come out of the city and go out to where the Syrians had been to find out that the word had been true. It had to be experiential. Spiritual feeding is experience, experiencing the Lord, not just doctrine and teaching. Okay, we're there this morning. You know what? One last thing real quick. 2 Kings chapter 13. Just on Elisha. And we may go back to this another time. And you'll read about this. When Elisha died, they laid him in a grave. And it was probably, I've read some accounts where it could have been a year later. The Moabites were out and they dropped, let's see, verse 20. Elisha died and they buried him. The bands of the Moabites would invade the land in the spring of the year. And as they were burying a man, behold, they saw a band and they cast the man into the grave of Elisha. And when the man touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. What does that have to do with the word today? I'm not sure, but it's just, I just love that story. I just wanted to add that. Elisha walked in the heavenly realm. Here he had died. Elisha's not there anymore. It's just a body. But the anointing was so great, that mantle that he walked in, it was still abiding there. That it could have been a year later. I don't know the period of time. But someone is dropped in there that's dead. And there's enough life in that mantle and that anointing to bring him back to life. Isn't that amazing? The other part of that is it's kind of sad. You remember when Elijah was taken up, the mantle passed on to Elisha. Well, here seems like the mantle's right there in that grave. It's like who took it up after Elisha left. But that's what happens when we're walking in the realm of spirit, when we're walking in the heavenly realm. There is such an anointing. There's such a presence of God that we're involved with. Spirit, soul, and body. I think it's going to be so great and so real. Amen. Let's stand. Lord, we just agree together that whatever is barricading or blocking the realm that is our true home, the realm of heaven, be broken this morning. Father, we want one eye in the natural to see the things we have to do on planet Earth. But more importantly, we want our spiritual eye open to see what you're doing, to hear what you're speaking, to be totally aware of this realm of heaven, and to know and believe the access we have to your realm. Amen.